Welcome, listeners. As I drive down this dark, diverse highway and pause to pick up John Aitken and Bob Fleming from Prog to Who, trek this out and take your seats. We are on a journey of discovery into the imagery and mastery of Lynchian landscapes, the efflux of stories interwoven in a tapestry of films. This is The Lynch Mob.
And welcome to another Lynch Mob, and this time we're looking at The Straight Story, the 1999 film starring Richard Farnsworth.
What made me decide to do The Straight Story? I fell in love with the script. I read it and fell in love with it. And what I fell in love with, I think, was the emotion in the script. And I wanted to see if I could get that emotion to come out of the film.
Rosie, I've got to go see Lyle. And I've got to make this trip on my own. I know you understand.
I guess so.
First round, what do you think?
Well, you know, I'm going to go first because all my notes are lost. So literally,
Oh, you lost your notes?
I've got two notes. So I can give you the two notes now if you want, and we can just finish this
thing. Get over and done with, yeah.
But no, realistically, it was an absolute joy to watch this film. it felt like having a warm bath all the way through it. It was...
Yeah.
You get yourself in a headspace, you get into it, and it just carries you on a gentle journey of, like, fucking lovely story. Mm. Yeah, I really enjoyed this film.
I mean, for me it was a slow, very, very slow starter. But once he got on his journey, I absolutely loved it. I thought it was like John says, it was just the most comforting, lovely paced film, music, everything, just visual. It was just a really beautiful and lovely journey. And it's a road trip, but a different kind of road trip, obviously, that we're used to with Lynch. Cast everything. It was just mint. I can't believe not seen it before this one. I thought I would have seen something like this, but I haven't. But yeah, full love it, man.
Well, it was my first watch, never seen it before. And I absolutely loved it. I loved all the visuals by Freddie Francis, who came back to do it just for this film. A perfect complement with Badalamenti, with the music. It's stunning. It had me wobbly chin. I teared up many times through it. Brilliant story, and a lot of life lessons on it. I love it.
Yeah. I was going to say with the... I've completely forgotten. Something you said, and I've completely forgotten.
Well, it's about to be fucking great, Bob. So I
reckon you should just hang in there and see whether you can get it. And then just go straight away.
Let me say something then. This story was particularly good because they didn't do flashbacks. They never took you out of the moment of like being with, with Alvin on his journey. So they tell a lot of stories about the past and reveal a lot about everybody's past in each of these little tales that he says around the campfire a lot of the time. And we don't see them in flashbacks, which would have been so easy to do. We see the actor portraying a man telling a story that he feels so strongly.
Yeah.
And it's acted so well. That you just like they accept that method of delivering that information, and it's really, I just welcomed that sort of. It wasn't trying to take you out of anything. It just like it had you in its palm of its hand. This film,
yeah,
and it just led you to write all the way to the end.
And also, it made you sort of believed it. You believe that this man could ride a little tractor in a trailer or whatever, or you know, however many miles it was for weeks and weeks and weeks. There was just something about him,
How many miles do you think it was, Bob?
Well, it was 61 when he got to that place where he crashed down the hill, and then nice people helped him. And then there was another whatever, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not that interested. It just took him a long time, that's all. I don't know miles.
240.
Was it? Yeah, there you
240,
go.
240, yeah.
Okay, now
then. He was on one. The original guy, Alvin Strait, wants it, so he made the journey.
That's from here to bloody Glasgow for me.
On a tractor. Yeah, imagine that.
On a tractor.
On a tractor. What I was going to say was, just coming back to Mario Balotelli, as soon as the music started, you know, with the stars, I could hear that synth coming in, proper like Mario Balotelli style. No one's corrected me yet, because I'm going to keep doing it.
No, I know. I just wasn't going to.
But the rest of the music, it was so Mario Balotelli. because it wasn't Angelo Badalamenti or whatever. But it was just different soundscape and track from what I've heard before from him. It was beautiful. You had like this acoustic violin and a sort of double bass or bass one for when he was trucking on the road trip, that's what it was. And then when there was moments of tenderness, you had this sort of classical guitar, beautiful classical guitar playing. And it was sort of then really them two sort of pieces of music played throughout, because it was
it's a good collaboration of each, wasn't it? But I found it more in tune with like Ennio Morricone, you know, like an old western type.
Yeah,
you know, we could definitely feel like he wanted to, it was like a modern day western, but another person, another man's journey. That's how I felt when you, especially the acoustic guitar bit, guitar bits. I thought as soon as he did, it's only a little bit of strumming, but you've heard it before in like older westerns, like spaghetti westerns, and something, and it just felt like it perfectly complemented it, because when he gave the backdrops, there's nothing you can see except the sun setting. And then rows of hills, and it's like, wow.
But he is an old cowboy, isn't he? That's what he's, you know, he looks like an old cowboy. So it works perfectly well.
Yeah.
And he's a fantastic actor. I probably have seen him before, I imagine, in other things, but...
I mean, will you have, though? I mean, the stuff that he's been in the past has been so... he's been a stuntman for a lot of his career, right. And he's just had little parts and things, but he's got one of those faces that he's really expressive.
Yeah.
He's got such clear sort of blue eyes, you can see exactly what he's thinking.
But minimal. And, it's beautiful.
And it's a face that looks like it should be familiar.
Yeah.
Looks like it should be some superstar that you're just not really remembering, but he's not really that. And I think that's unique as well. And that the portrayal he did was like Oscar level, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, same with Sissy Spacek as well.
Yeah,
she was like she was class, and she had to do portrayal had to be quite sensitive.
Yeah,
and I think she did that perfectly as well.
I'll be honest, she annoyed the fuck out of me. Until I found out a story, then I felt bad. You know, when he tells the story of it.
Well, that's the weird thing about this film. You've got like all the way through it, you like find stuff out that makes the first half of the film. It's like a Lynch trick, like things bear rewatching.
Yeah.
Because it's a different tale the second time you watch it through.
Yeah.
And I really like that, because you do feel like you're finding stuff out as, you know, like dripped, it's been drip fed towards you.
Yeah.
And like that is like, that's, it keeps you on the journey, but it never like overwhelms you with information. You'd learn at a sort of organic pace, and I really like that as well.
It'll piss me off on my second watch. I found it a bit grinding on me, just ground me down.
Of her acting,
I don't know. It just was a pain in the ass. Like it just, I don't know. It just felt just annoying. And I know that sounds harsh, but I'm just being honest. Like personally, I found her very annoying. And I couldn't wait for him to fuck off and leave her. But obviously, when you find out all the stuff, you know, the story at the end about her losing the children, and she shouldn't have done, then I felt like a bit of a cunt, obviously. But even when I went back and watched it again the second time, she still pissed me off. So, you know.
Well, that just means you're still a bit of a cunt.
It's fine. Nothing came as a shock.
It's all fine. It's all natural. Normal and shit.
Well, there's Lynch parts all the way through. Like John just said, he drips feeds you. And right at the beginning, it felt like Blue Velvet, the bit with the woman, and you hear the thud of something's happened. And then there's the whole rigmarole of, hello, do you know the number for 911? And it's like, my God. And it's just, I thought, that is Twin Peaks there. That is Lynch bit there.
It, the characters, the incidental characters are all like, oh, there's a woman that hits a deer every week on the road and gets seriously pissed off about it. That's a pure Lynch. That is the oddballs that you see occasionally. We saw similar oddballs when we did Wild at Heart.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But that's
pure Lynch.
She was perfect Lynch, though, that lady went to hit the deer. This is amazing. And it's funny as well, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And I just love the fact as well, he fucking got the deer, cooked it, ate it, and put its fucking anklers on his truck. What a fucking ledge that man is.
And then when he's cooking up the deer, he suddenly realizes there's statues of deers at the side of him, and he's looking over trying to like give him a cold shoulder of what he's doing.
And also, right, I don't care what anyone says, you can't put meat in a fire like that. Because it gets all black. Yeah, you've got to wait for the flames to die down, white embers, get a bit of a grill over it, and then do it properly. You just go black and it's bollocks. It's just black raw meat.
You laugh at Cliff, but he's fucking right. I mean,
no, I'm right, yeah.
No, he's totally right, yeah. Yeah, fucking amateur time, isn't it? Yeah. Down the campfire.
I'll show him a professional campfirer.
Well, hey, so, I mean, yeah, when you're warming up a wiener, of course. This
made me piss myself, though.
Well, of course it did, because you've got the fucking comic sensibilities of a three-year-old.
When the young lass comes over and he's like, do you want to go on me wiener?
I've got a wiener.
Put a wiener on a stick and that. Jumping on his wiener.
Bastards.
It made me laugh. Sorry, I was entertained. And it was probably a joke. He probably put it on purpose.
No, probably
you
not.
You want to go on my wiener, John?
Not how they phrased it. Come on.
I love how he's got like this little story he does with the girl who hitchhiked.
Yes.
And you know what I mean? He knows what he's doing straight away. He's trying to help her out. And the way he does it, he tells her this story about the stick. So I thought it was beautiful, that bit. Little touches like that throughout it. And then you think, you know, this guy's pretty wise. He knows what he's on about. And then as the story unfolds, you realise he's got so much heartache.
Baggage.
So much pain and so much baggage he's had. Even to the point, it's more or less, I found that it was definitely highlighted that it may have been him who burnt the house with the kids, because when he turns around to the girl and says someone was babysitting the kids who left it on. Now, if someone did something so significant, you would know the fucking name.
Fucking hell! I tell you,
and
what,
the fact,
just sorry, Cliff.
And I found that you know, that might have been his turning point for his drinking as well.
I bet he was pissed and he caused the fire.
Yeah, because he says someone, and that resonated with me. What's happened with people I know? You know the fucking name is something so tragic happened to someone.
Mm.
And that made me think, whenever I've used the word someone, it's usually displaying myself in a situation. And it's something in his past obviously turned him off the drink. And it wasn't the argument with his brother, because he admits that he argued with his brother and he was pissed, blah, blah, blah. That didn't stop him from drinking. I think it might have been this incident.
That's just blown my mind a little bit, Cliff. Thank you very much. Because he says as well about someone, you know, about the, he was a sniper and they thought he was a German sniper. And he obviously, you know, without so many words,
again,
says that everyone thought he was a German sniper apart from me. And it's that, what you're saying there, that someone thing. Fucking hell. That, I mean, that scene with the you know, Alvin and his old mate in the pub had me in fucking bits, like a couple of war vets, and the acting, both of them
acted. The acting was perfect.
Whoa, fucking hell. That was unreal, that scene. Unreal. That had me with tears, like.
I like how they added the little touches of the sound, what was probably still going on in their head as he was talking about it. You could hear the thunders and stuff going on. But like John was saying before, you don't need the flashbacks because there's so much story on his face.
Yeah.
He's such a well actor. He should have won that fucking Oscar for this.
Did he get nominated for an Oscar, by the way?
He got nominated, but Kevin Pedo Spacey won it, didn't he?
Oh, did he now?
Yeah. For American
Hollywood,
isn't
it? Pedos and that.
Yeah.
American Beauty,
that's it.
Yeah. And I want to go back to the fact he makes his own fucking massive trailer, and the man's pretty much fucked, you know, like health-wise and all that. He still managed to make his own trailer. It's fucking massive and all that. I thought that just stuff like that. He'd sort of, the things that he could, I mean, just imagine when he's a young man, the things he could have done. You know, but it was an absolute fucking just, you know, amazing at sort of everything, really, life on the road and all that kind of stuff. And he uses WD-40 like a real man, so it's great. I think it's awesome.
I do think that was like, that was like on point. You're going to see WD-40 in this, because this is what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what we do.
This is a man that knows what he's doing. WD-40. Yeah. Drop it. Drop the mic. Drop the WD. But I love that scene. And I tell you what I did love. And it was weirdly quite kind of tense when he went to the shop and all his old mates were there and all that. There's that whole massive thing about the grabber. Yeah. You know, like, it was like, proper kind of like emotive and tense and whatever over a grabber. And again, that is Lynch, isn't it? Just that little tiny thing.
Yeah, like a shopkeeper was weirdly attached to his grabber.
Yeah, and he had another grabber Lynch, in the shop as well. Isn't it? So it was just like...
We do get some like pure Lynch sound stuff, because he did the sound for this as well, sound design.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's one, like, you know how we get little cut pieces just like interspersing the scenes? And one of them was just an image of like some corn silos,
yeah.
And then you got the industrial noise that we know so well.
That's
from,
right, yeah.
From pretty much all his work, and that was just, you know, I think there's a reason why that was there at that point, but that was kind of before the thing started.
There's a lot of really nice, lovely crossfading shots. That just, yeah, sort of, I don't know if it's because they were maybe slightly slower than normal, or you don't really get crossfades much anymore of a shot,
no,
that I can remember. But I love it, just from the house to a field or whatever, it just was beautiful, because it's the scenery in this and everything was beautiful. It was just a stunning thing to watch in general.
That country music that is repeated pretty much all the way through it,
yeah.
It never gets old all the way through either. That is the thing that makes you feel, you like, it's the wholesomeness of this whole film,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah.
That, as soon as that music's on, you don't think... I mean, at one point, I remember writing in the notes before I fucking lost it. I remember saying, like, I really, really, really don't want anything bad to happen to these characters, right? Because at that point during the film, over halfway, I think I was like, I'm loving this due to the fact that there is no real peril. There's no shyster around the corner who's going to steal his lawnmower or shit thing going to happen like that. Because we see lots of Lynch bad characters. I didn't want one of them to appear. Yeah. So much I didn't want
that.
I was really pleased when we got to the end and it hadn't happened.
I mean, the ending is just fucking... After the journey, the massive journey, he gets there and obviously he meets his brother... played by the great Harry Dean Stanton, and I just was like, yes, fucking hell. And they said fuck all, really. They sort of, I just sat, looked at the stars, and that was it. And I thought it was perfect.
That was perfect, because that's what he wanted to do, didn't he? He said, I just want to sit and look at the stars again.
Yeah, and I fucking love
that. And again, Harry Dean Stanton doesn't really have to say much, because when he realises his brother's come all that way on a fucking tractor, and he says, you come all the way on that for me? He goes, yeah. And his eyes just fill up.
Yeah.
Such a good actor. His eyes just fill up. And he just takes a deep breath, and he's like, wow. That's it. He realises, he don't need to say anything with brothers, do you? You know what I mean? That was it for him.
Yeah.
He knew that he'd loved him at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a beautiful bit. But oh, sorry, John.
No, go for it.
I was going to say, I also like the way he set some of the sound bits up when they're talking, especially when he camped at that man's house. It was sort of like you was viewing it from far away, but you was always, as well, hearing it from far away. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you could hear what was going on behind it.
So, like, there's a couple of scenes where I couldn't hear what was going on. But like you say, the camera was 40 feet away, and if you were 40 feet away, you wouldn't hear what was going
on. So
you're not meant to. It's just life going on at that point, I think.
Standard Lynch, I love it when he does that.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So it's like you're there.
It starts off season 3 of Twin Peaks that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a shot from back, and like you can't hear what they're saying.
Yeah, because that's what you'd be like if you were there. I mean, talking to first person... There's quite a lot of that, of him, you know, looking through his eyes And I love the way that's just directed. A bit, you know, like a bit shaky because obviously he's on the tractor and all that. You know, and it's just like looking about. It's just fucking great. It's just Lynch, man. I mean, he was given this story or whatever. And, you know, it's a beautiful story. And he just made it fucking perfect for me. Yeah. So the pacing is fucking... It doesn't miss a beat. And that's why you end up in your warm bath. You know what I mean? And you're fucking feeling just, oh, what a fucking lovely, lovely journey that was. You're not like going, oh, shock horror, or, you know, jumping around going, oh, what's that? It's just lovely.
It's kind of Lynch's thing that, like, with Twin Peaks, certainly, he wants to... It's the love of nice, good TV that he sort of is championing at that point.
Yeah.
And I think this is an example of, because he goes across 240 miles, and we don't see him meet an arsehole. We see him meet genuine, honest people, which is 99% of the people out there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a panacea to all the fucking... We only see the bad news. It's like, but most people would be fine.
Yeah.
And they would act in that civilized manner that he did, that they did. I mean, they helped him selflessly in a lot of cases. Like, it's just like Everett McGill's character. You know, he trusted him to not do him out of this deal for this John Deere lawnmower.
Big Ed.
Yeah.
And he felt the trust there. You felt like this is just an honest person talking with another honest person. And you'd only get honest people throughout this entire thing. And it's like, that's so nice.
Yeah.
And like I say, it was like a balm. It was like fucking bleach for your eyes after looking at the rest of the shit that we've been looking at.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. It was a wash. It was a good washout, wasn't it?
Really cleaned me out.
Cleaned me out, really. Right. Cleaned right, me out. Right through.
Cleaned me out.
Right through. The
got all the gristle.
I mean, I think for me, there's two moments which potentially would have been tense in this. There wouldn't have been any other film apart from this film. Obviously, you've got the crazy deer... felling lady. Even that, it's just funny, isn't it? She's not.
Yeah.
She's just sick of killing deer because she loves deer. So it's that honesty and things in all that as well. So even that character is... The only bit of tension I found was when he's coming down the hill and his brakes don't work because the trailer's too heavy. And it's only because you're used to seeing the slow speed of the road and then you see, you know, a bit faster and all that. And it's quite... Because in context of the film, it's the only thing that sort of ups a beat for a little while, is that little bit of tension. But the rest of it is just...
And at that point, Lynch adds in a burning house at the same time.
Yes, well, there's a lot of fire, big fire.
And there's a lot of fire motif again. And it's constantly in his background when they're questioning him, are you okay? And you see this burning house at the side.
Yeah.
And that was another reason thinking, is he thinking of that? You know what I mean? Mm. Of that burning house. Because why on earth was it? We never know with Lynch. He might just decided to put a burning house there.
No, but I think it was because it started that with the burning house, didn't it? And then when you realise it's a fire, you know, fire training session or whatever, you're like, that's all right. And again, you're back to this lovely, you know, surroundings and people and all that kind of thing. But yeah, that was the only bit that we would have classed as maybe slightly tense.
I found one directorial choice very weird. Just before the woman overtakes him and hits a deer, there's a screeching noise of the car off screen, and you get the most wobbly ass zoom right into Richard Farnsworth's face.
Yeah, yeah.
That was like, that didn't work for me. It's not a criticism of the film, it's just a personal preference.
It's a personal preference. I think it's more like your soap opera, like EastEnders, like, wah, you know, kind of shot.
Yeah.
You could definitely see like a bouncing tire going past him on the left hand tire or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I wonder if he'd done that to keep that U or G rating what he wanted. Mm. There's certain shots.
I don't know. There's a dead deer in the road. But I can't think there's anything in this film that would be considered in any way unacceptable for somebody to watch.
No,
it's just so gentle.
I mean, just to go through a couple of scenes that I fucking loved. And there's plenty of them. It's when he's done his first attempt and that arsehole truck driver goes past and blows his hat off and his tractor fucks up and all that. And obviously goes and gets his John Deere off Big Ed. And then off he goes again. Another truck comes back. He tucks his hat on to make sure, you know, and he's kind of, it's like this learning thing of, I don't know, I just, It's little things like that are fucking brilliant.
I was really annoyed, I think, a little bit, because when his hat blew off,
yeah,
why didn't he use the grabber? I was really thinking he should have been using the grabber.
I tell you what was funny about that scene, though, when the saga bus pulled up, full of ladies.
Oh yeah,
all over him, weren't they? Very excitable, weren't they? When he got on the bus. I don't know what he could have done, like,
but, his eye, didn't he?
Yeah, but I bet he could have probably done about three or four of them, even at his age.
Because it was only 5 miles to Grouse. Unless he's very quick, he's going to have no build-up time or anything.
Yeah, well, keep his socks on, you go faster. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't even take your jeans off, straight in.
Go faster stripes on his ass.
But it was, again, another lovely, awesome scene. It just is joy... happiness, but the despair of him, and it is a very fucking serious despair. And you hit the nail on the head before, Cliff, by your sort of thing about someone has done something, and he's, you know, obviously been, you know, I can never imagine being at fucking war, can you?
No.
So I'm not surprised people are going to be fucked up when they come back and whatever, but
I don't know, I've done some pods that felt like it at times.
What?
Future
I'm
ones.
I'm not saying it's you, Bob. I can actually assume that.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
No, Christmas special might be coming out.
There's one, talking of the pieces that intersperse the other pieces, there's always a scene of, and it's repeated all the way through, of the combine harvester.
Aye.
Yeah.
Doing its combine harvesting. And I think that was, it's like, even the cut bits are all gentle, here's some more lovely stuff, and you're going to get some really lovely country kind of music over it. Played very well, whoever did
that. I was
going
to say, the playing is beautiful on all sort of stringed instruments that are appearing on, you know, the Spanish the nice Truckee Road one, and you got a nice Spanishy one for All Emotion and that, and it's class.
Yeah,
it's such a low budget as well for the time it came out. 99, 10 million.
Is it?
Yeah, 10 million. So you think of, Bad Lamented or how much he takes.
Oh,
yeah,
but
I'll
tell you,
people.
He fucking eats a fortune, mate.
But I think a lot of people came on board just simply because they knew the story. I know that Richard Farnsworth, he died after a year after this, committed suicide.
Oh, right. Oh, what? Fucking hell, really?
Well, to see him on those crutches and in pain was actually him in pain, because he had spinal cancer or something that was ridden his body, and it was hard for him to walk.
Yeah.
So he was like on his way out, and then you got Freddie Francis, who agreed to be in it because he wanted to do one more thing with Lynch. I think there's an interview with David Lynch, and he says that Freddie agreed to be on it if he cut it down to about 8 hours a day. But apparently he was stayed up and he was out doing 16, 18 hours work every day, constantly on it. And again, I think he died within a year or so after the film as well. So
Lynch does this a lot.
Loves killing people.
Fucking kills people off.
Fucking cark it just after.
But I wonder if he gets them on the cheap. You know, like where you go shop and it's on the Best Buy.
Oh my God.
You got one more round for that burger so I can get it out.
It's not green yet. I mean, not dead.
Just to talk about another couple, one or two of the scenes I really enjoyed was, again, this is, now we're talking through it, adding to Alvin's awesomeness. You know, saying if he's this awesome now at the age he is, and excuse me, all the things he has wrong with him when he was a younger man, he must have been amazing. When the Olsen twins are trying to fucking have his pants down and that, and he just fucking goes,
are they like relative to Chris Farley, aren't they?
I think they are,
They must be, because one of them looked just like Chris Farley.
Yeah.
I think they are. But it was, I just loved the way he just fucking ripped him a new one. Like, it was mint. He was just such a fucking cool dude, Alvin, man. You want to hang out with him, don't you?
Yeah, both of them are just chets. I related to him.
Oh, they are.
All right, there you go
then.
No way. And I like how he's got his little word as well with them, like he does with everyone. A little word of wisdom. I'm going to meet my brother, not seen him for a long time. And it's sort of like, after them been bickering, tried to make him think, I think only one of them thought. One people were, what the fuck was that to his face?
The only thing that made me laugh was like, a bit earlier on when he's saying, "No, it's going to cost you $250 to get your tractor fixed by the Olsen twins." And he goes, "Well, that's twice as much as it should be." He goes, "Yeah, that's probably why they're charging double about the twins and that." I was like, that's just a cool little line, man. It was just loads of just, fucking hell, the more I'm thinking about it now, the more I'm just like loving it even more than I did.
There's a scene where his old tractor, he gets some part of the way, and then his tractor just gives up the ghost, his old red tractor.
Yeah.
And when he brings it back and he goes and gets his gun and shoots it like an old dog.
That's brilliant.
And it's like, it's an old red tractor. Old red is the old, is the you know, take old red... All red,
yeah,
round back and shoot me in the end.
What are you doing? Bang! Fucking shooting bastard!
Right, I'm gonna buy another fucking.
Yeah, if I could buy a gun, I'd just shoot everything that broke in my house. That or I broke. You know what I mean? Fucking boom, piece of shit.
The bit where the bikers go past. I know. Good job. Jesus Christ.
Isn't it?
Yeah, my own little serial killer on the go.
You can film him, Cliff.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Hey, I've got a great idea for a mockumentary, lad.
John, do you want to be the sound man? No, better not. We'll get someone we don't know and be the sound man.
We're going to call it Man Bob Bites Dogs.
Bob Bites Everything.
Oh, class.
But the bit where the bikers go past... And then he meets up with him afterwards.
I was going to say at the same time.
Oh, shaving.
And he
felt like he'd like just seen a bunch of deer run past.
I know.
It just felt like it could look like a bunch of like you're standing in a field and like a whole flock of deer just sprint past.
Yeah.
He's like watching them go like they're like wild animals.
It was great though. Like you say, when he pulled in and everyone was clapping him, and he had some chats. He had that conversation about getting old and things like that was. Quite a little deep moment. I
love how they just finished that bit off where the guy goes, what's the trouble about getting old? And he goes, it's because you remember when you was young, or worse to that effect. And he just finishes that scene. Like, the lads around him realise, fuck, that's what getting old's like, isn't it? You remember when you were young.
And I like it. I love it when you can tell now he's nearly at the end of the journey going over that bridge. Got a lot of first perspective looking about and all that. Then he ends up in a graveyard and he camps over there. And there's that scene with the vicar is fucking lovely. You know, when he brings him out some food and obviously he's had all of his fucking wieners. Because that's all he eats, isn't it? Wieners. No wonder he's fucked. But it's even that. You're sat in a, graveyard with a vicar, with a fire. And even that's a lovely and beautiful calming scene.
It's like you give him the impression that, like, am I allowed to stay here? In any other film, it would be like, no.
Yeah.
And there'd be some sort of conflict or some sort of thing that you need to resolve it.
Yeah.
But no, it's like, yeah, of course you can, mate. Yeah. Do you want me to join you? Do you want something to eat?
Yeah.
That's fucking, that's beautiful. What it's saying. It's a message, it's a nice message.
It's a beautiful message. Just be kind to people and be nice and be honest. And that's and everyone will feel a lot better for it. But unfortunately, the fucking world doesn't work like that. But I wish it did. It'd be great.
I'm quite honest with you, Bob.
Are you? I'm not really. Yeah. No, I usually hold back a bit and sit at the fence.
I told you were a cunt earlier. I mean, that's pretty honest.
Yeah, that is well honest. That's a true mate. Yeah. That is.
Anytime, my friend.
I wonder how many times John has called me a cunt over the last 20 years I've known him.
I tell you what, I've probably called you a cunt off air and not to your face a bit more.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you, John. I bet you're a big softy behind me back.
I don't even think about you when I'm not talking to you, Bob.
he's one of those people who, unless he can see you, you don't exist. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. He knows you don't exist.
Like my 11-month-year-old son, who just closes his eyes and thinks he's disappeared.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Great bands, lads.
This will make a good YouTube, don't worry. I think also the bit where it goes to the cemetery is coming to the end of the film.
Yeah.
Do you not also find that he's coming to the end? He's finishing off. Is he ever going to fucking make it home on that tractor anyway? Is this his end?
It kind of doesn't matter because he has a beer, doesn't he? He has his first.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
He goes to that bar and he just has one cold beer. And he's never had a beer before because he's always had like liquor, you know, whiskeys and obviously, you know, proper full on alk. And he turns that one beer off. No, but I mean, like, fucking, that's what they're doing, it. Savage on beer. All the time.
All right.
I actually fucking know. Anyway.
All right.
But you just.
Fucking hell.
To the control.
I'm not sure where you're getting the idea that he hasn't drunk beer before. That sounds fucking weird.
Because he always says liquor, and he says liquor, and he says, I've never had a beer before. Is it any good?
He doesn't say that.
He does, yeah. I was noticing things like that.
I didn't notice that.
I was like, fuck off. He's not having one, because he's alk and that. Fucking didn't he? Big lad. Love him.
And the guy at the end of the bar, like, seems to be sharpening his knife. That old dude. Yeah, he's just sat there, sharpening his knife.
That's America.
That's fucking brilliant. It's like you've got a spare big Bowie knife.
I used to go to some Cubs meetings that were like that.
Oh, yeah, do you remember back in the day at Cubs, like, years ago, before all nonsense that came in, health and safety and that? The first that first requirement was to go and buy the biggest sheath knife I could find, like a fucking Rambo knife, to go camping with. Back it, they won't even get. They're lucky to get a stick nowadays. I bet they don't play murder ball anymore. They don't do anything. No, one of these kids are fucking daft.
I remember being on scouts, and my scoutmaster bought us a few cans of lagers. I thought it was too good.
Yeah, 14.
He was all right. He didn't turn up that much to the scout. Or he used to have his mate turn up because he was always. He's either pissed or he's out.
But none of these guys had checks.
I'm telling you, these guys weren't.
Did they invite you into a room individually just for like proper checks and stuff?
Every time you went camping, you always have to have the cough check. Did you not have that? Is that not right?
All right.
I used to get double teamed by R. Kayla in the other one. Balls and Dennis, cough for me. Go on, Bob. Cough for me. I don't know where this has gone now.
Because we've been watching an old man for 2 hours. For some reason, you think Pino or Santa, one of them brought it in.
Oh my god!
Anyway, like we say, I felt Mary Sweeney, the woman who written it along with John Roach. Well, she married David Lynch. A year after this,
yes, and she was with it. She's a big. She does for loads of. She did loads of editing for him as well. Bits like that, apparently, and stuff.
She did a shitload for Twin Peaks and stuff. Yeah. Didn't she, in the past, yeah. She's the one who used to just compile it all. And he used to come through it, so she knew exactly his style.
Yeah,
so, you know what I mean.
That was
so
the
lady
who was on that bonus DVD or whatever. I can't remember which film it was, but she was there going, "I just edit it because I know, like you said, I know what he wants." And they'll give him 5 hours of a film to go at rather than.
Was that Fire Walk With Me? I think that.
Yeah, he was actually. Yeah, Fire Walk With Me. Yeah.
Yeah, she knew his stuff. And all the people who he worked with, Jesus, it's like his mates, isn't it?
It is completely his mates. It's a bit like Adam Sandler. In every film, Adam Sandler.
Fucking hell!
How
do you go from David Lynch to Adam Sandler?
Like, no, but he does have the same people.
This is instead of Cobra Kai, isn't it? Fucking hell.
Yep. I mean, Grown Ups 2 is probably one of the best films I've ever seen. I can't do that. Nice. No, I can't do that. Well, I love Adam Sandler, but he always has the same people on board, doesn't he? That's all I'm saying.
I think if you've got a group of mates that know you well and know what your vision is, then why not? Like Peter Jackson does the same, doesn't he? He keeps people since he was very young doing his films.
Yeah.
It's like us three. In the future, it'll be us making
films. I knew you were
going to
go there.
Boom.
I knew you were going to go there.
We'll be there. We'll be going to be there. It's either that or Cliff Salford Radio. Get on it. good film. Anyway, it's been one of the shortest fucking...
Well, this is your problem, Ralph, with like, this film doesn't do any of the things that the Village films
It's just
do.
A nice film.
Yeah. It's just a little story. It's almost like a pet project rather than a proper film thing.
Oh, what was the? Yeah.
It doesn't have any intrigue in it. It doesn't have any ulterior motives for people. It doesn't have any conflict in it.
Mm.
No,
it's just a sweet film, and because of that, there's not a great deal you can talk about it.
No, true. Yeah.
There's not that much to dissect out of it.
What was the name of the actress that played his daughter?
Sissy Spacek.
Yeah, she was good. You know, like, she's good at playing it, but obviously it annoyed me as well. But
she's a cracking actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like very similar to what John was saying. You can sort of see why Walt Disney picked it up to distribute it. Because it's just so nice.
Yeah, I couldn't believe when I saw Walt Disney.
Walt Disney Presents.
Yeah.
They didn't put any money to it, twats. Channel 4 did, Film 4, and a few other big ones, and a French one.
Studio Canal, always on Lynch.
Yeah, they're always banging it in, don't
very
they?
Very long. The Studio Canal logo, whatever it is, you know, when they do the logos, it's very long,
yeah,
and not very exciting. So you know, like,
for you,
so,
isn't it?
at this point, we've run out of stuff to talk about Straight Story, so we're on to like the opening credits and advertisers and shit.
Yeah, MGM have got a roaring lion. That's exciting, a roaring lion, isn't it? Just Studio Canal for about 5 minutes is fucking boring. So that's what I'm saying. Just put it up on screen. A couple of seconds. Fuck off.
Let's have a last round. Well, I've got, John, who lost his fucking shit.
I had two notes and I've told you them both, so that's where I am.
I love the fact of the crazy deer woman that she listens to Public Enemy really loud to startle off the deer. That was
that was a bit crazy.
I have fucking Public Enemy on or whatever. That was quite funny. But yeah, no, this is just this. It's a great fucking film, and it's even greater now. Again, after talking to you guys about it, it was a nice break. Like John was saying, it was a nice, cleanse.
Yeah.
Where do you think it fits in the Lynch filmography so far, then, in terms of like, which one have you watched that's your most favourite? I don't want you to rank them now because we'll probably do that at some other point. But where does it sit in your little list?
Funny, of all the stuff I've watched, I'd have it in my top five just because it made me feel so fucking good at the end. You know what I mean? And it's not a head fuck, but it's just a lovely film, and it just shows the skills that he has. He can do fucking anything, puts his mind to it, David.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite. This and Elephant Man, he's two straight films, if you like. I found them brilliant because of him and his direction. And then obviously you get into the other stuff. That is the great talking points, isn't it? And the great thought processes that you have to have. But it's the very different things. If I wanted just to fucking chill out on a Sunday afternoon, I'd put Straight Story on or whatever. If I wanted to fuck my head up, I'd watch Wild at Heart. That's the sort of the expanse he's got in what he can do.
Yeah, he can do. What about you, John?
Well, I don't know. It wouldn't, for all those reasons, it wouldn't be in my top at all. But that is to say, at the bottom of this list, is not a bad film. It's not a bad film in any of them so far.
No.
So, it's down around, it's around the Elephant Man area because of that reason. It's like, it's inoffensive, but it isn't that mentally stimulating.
No.
But then again, that's not what they were going for.
No.
But I do prefer the mentally stimulating kind of ones.
This was nice for, this was nice for a break, and it was a collective element of the stunning visuals, a lovely story, with the heartache of an old man. The passing of time has taken its toll on him, without a doubt, and that journey, and the soundtrack, how it came in, and the actors were just fucking brilliant. It's just like, for me, this was a perfect cinema. Lovely.
It is, but. Taking to what John just said now, it makes you think, if I handed you this film, you knew fuck all about it, and you said it's David Lynch film, and you just watched the stuff what we've watched, I think you might have been expecting something a lot more. But it's only because the three of us knew that this story was coming up. We all knew that it was going to be one which is going to be a lukewarm, but a completely different version of stuff. And I think we expected what we got.
Yeah.
But like I said, if you was expecting an Inland Empire and I gave you this, you're going to be like, what the fuck was that?
But it's about the composition of any piece, isn't it? This is kind of to a degree, or for me personally, perfect, because you've got beautiful visual, great direction, some lovely, shots and everything like that, great cast, awesome music.
I really enjoyed it.
And it is what it is, and it maintains its sort of what it's about throughout. It doesn't sort of veer off anywhere.
It's like if you expect all loads of bright colours in David Lynch films, this is one of his more muted.
Yeah.
It's muted palettes. The colours. Yeah, it's got muted palettes. It's still made by the same artist, as you can tell.
Yeah.
The story's not his, so it's not off the fucking wall like his other stories are. But you do see his directorial touch in pretty much everything that happens. The opening scene where there's no music behind it, and it's a really slow zoom into that window where you see the thud of them falling over. That was just a beautiful little start, but it made me think this is definitely a David Lynch film.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the kind of shit he does.
And of all the stuff what we've watched up to now, you sort of know to expect his stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You the sound bit, like John was saying, and then the Deer Woman, like you were saying, Bob, as well. There's bits in it now where, because we've seen so many, we're going, that's his little touch, that's his little bit on there. It does go all the way through. I enjoyed it. It was a good film.
Yeah.
It isn't a head fuck, but maybe the next one is. What's the next one we're going to do?
I was going to vote for Lost Highway.
I was going to vote for Inland Empire. So we have a hand up.
I'm easy. So whatever you guys want to do, to be honest.
Yeah.
Inland Empire.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do some proper dark-sided Lynch.
This is supposed to be the most wild.
Yeah.
This is one where people say, this is it, boom, off the wall. So I'm looking forward to this one.
Then we've only got three left after, haven't we? Lost Highway, Dune, and Eraserhead.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? Coming to the end.
Make some more films, yeah, fuck yeah.
You old twat, fucking do it.
knock out a couple of bangers, mate. I mean, we could always do reviews of his shorts and stuff like that thing on Netflix.
We could do one just on his shorts.
I've got loads of shorts.
We could find them on YouTube. Yeah, that'd be good if you're up for that, John, as well.
Yeah.
So, people tune in next time we're doing Inland Empire. And don't forget, check us out on YouTube channel, podcast, fucking everything. And bye from Bob, bye from John.
Lynched!
Bye!
Lynched!